Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprint, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this November the 5th on the West Coast, now November the 6th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zones. We'd like to welcome everyone listening to us on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, as well as on Blog Talk Radio. Now, I've got a lot to talk about tonight. Rather than do an introduction of any magnitude, I'm going to bring my favorite U.S. Marine on the show, and we're going to talk about some stuff together. There's more activity. We had a false flag event occur at Fort Hood today, And as usual, the media's right there with all the answers. Of course, they couldn't stop this from happening, but they certainly have their spin on it. And I think it's we're going to talk about what I'm going to say is the cover story, and then what is the real story, as well as we've got an update, and this is an unusual update about the swine flu pandemic, and what's causing this, and where it's occurring. I got some figures this evening and from my sources, and I think you're going to find this show very, very interesting. So please pay attention. Tonight's guest is a talk show host in his own right. He's a researcher. He's a constitutional and historical scholar, former U.S. Marine Corps, 1967 through 1977. And now a fixture here on Evident Footprints, my good friend Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thank you very much. I appreciate it to all my friends around the world. Ending on the Guy Fawkes Day today, I'm here. And there's definitely a lot of news out there, Don. There really is.
Yes. Well, Drew, I want to address this issue of the swine flu pandemic. We've been hearing so much conflicting information. There was a parody, if you want to call it that, piece of artwork that David Dees did for Jeff Rentz's site, Rentz.com, and he was listing the fatalities in the Ukraine and the number of people affected. And you and I have stressed that that we know deep down inside that these numbers are fudged, that they don't escalate this rapidly. And we've been getting some what we feel are very accurate reports from right there on the ground, from people that live there, people in the medical community, people that are really paying attention, and they earn their living in that field. So they have an idea within the realm of their particular job description as to what's going on. Now, do they know everything? Probably not. Do I know everything, or you, or any of us? No. But I got a report that seems to be accurate in some ways, and when I describe how this has come about, I think it's going to make sense. Just for the new listeners that may be out there hearing the show for the first time, or someone who's come back to the show after missing a few of these shows that we've done about the swine flu, where literally, and this is happening quite regularly on your show too, your contacts there in Ukraine are telling you that the death toll is much smaller than what's being reported. They're saying that there's not this mad dash to the hospitals, that there aren't the number of victims that are reported, although one doesn't really know other than what they're told either by the government or by their media or somebody in the know. And I had a call from General Jeremiah this evening. Gave me permission to relay this information, and you may want to share this. Hopefully there's some people in Ukraine paying attention to this. I will not reveal the source there, just for the or the sources of that information for those people's safety. But I will say that the Federation has determined through their very advanced scientific equipment that there are some 200,000 people who have been affected by what they can identify as, we'll say, a swine flu. Is this the swine flu that people have been coming down with? If there are real cases around the United States or around Europe or in Africa or Central and South America, well, we really don't know. They're calling virtually any disease is being diagnosed as a swine flu, especially the respiratory diseases. But what they have been able to determine with their advanced scientific equipment is that there has been a release, and likely something carried in the wind, a release of a mutant form or a mutated form of the original swine flu virus. Now, anyone that gets a vaccine likely is going to die just because of the nature of what the vaccine will do to their immune system. There will be a dead duck, basically. These numbers are quite a bit higher, okay? In other words, 10,000 people in hospitals throughout the Ukraine. The specific areas were not divulged, but the general figures they had. Now, I raised the question that this might be more of the same spin that we're hearing, and this is when the issue of the mutated virus actually was brought to my attention. Okay, so we can consider that a strong possibility. And as was reported in the rural areas, this was something that was brought into the cities via the winds, via atmospheric changes. And it's not exclusive just to the Ukraine either. The whole country of Romania also has this problem. They have been sprayed or something, some bacteriological version of this swine flu has been released on Romania as well. I haven't heard a word about Romania, to tell you the truth. And I asked about the Amazon. In fact, I was comparing these general cases to the banking corruption. I guess I should look into Romanian banking corruption now. But we have this everywhere. We've got this corruption all over the world. So, but it seems like it may be a sort of blackmail or extortion. The numbers in the Amazon are not known, but we have this Stanford case, which was at minimum, it was a $3 billion scam that they ran on investors there. And, you know, people lost their shirts and probably their pants and their socks and their shoes in these scams. Now, the fact that the people in the Amazon jungle are being attacked is just more of the same insanity. This is certainly an agenda. There's a lot of fear amongst the Illuminati that they're losing the grip that they've held on humanity for so many hundreds of years as this organized group and as an alien-based group for thousands of years. We're not going to mince words tonight. We're going to tell it like it is. Now, while all this is going on, and I want you to comment on all this in a moment, Drew. While all this is going on, all of a sudden we have another shooting at Fort Hood. And I want to give you the opportunity to talk about it, but there may be another aspect of this that's not being discussed. And just like the swine flu pandemic in these three regions that I'm talking about, where in the vicinity there's been major financial corruption and nobody has been able to do anything about it other than a couple of people have gotten arrested. You know, we have this problem here in our country. Think about Madoff and his $150 billion, but look at what the government's doing, stealing trillions of dollars. So we can expect that I think the swine flu follows bank scandals. There's no doubt about that. We're going to see this all over the planet. If they're releasing something, which, from what I've told, been told, it's been released via the air. Now, here's the good news. They have developed an antidote for this. So we can expect this to be neutralized. But, we're still, advising people, to not take the vaccine. We know what squalene does. We know what thimerosal or whatever adjuvants they put in these vaccines can do, as well as live viruses. Now, there are reports in the internet saying that Tamiflu is being given to all the people. That's the same situation. You don't want to do this, and Tamiflu is not going to affect this. But there has been an antidote for this biological substance. It was described to me as a biological weapon, and it's to target young children and pregnant women. Their goal first is to reach people up to age 24. They want to just completely remove those generations of people. Now, your comments, Drew, if either topic, whichever one.
Well, I'd like to start with the Fort Hood, because that's on our soil, and to me, there's a major problem to Americans out there, especially those that paid attention and were listening or were privy to the news reports that were coming out live in the metropolitan area around Killeen, Texas, Austin, Texas, today. It started around 2:30 Central Standard Time, and when I went on my show live at 1600 hours, that's 4 o'clock for those of you in the civilian world, This is the actual news that was coming to me from one of the Wind Talkers radio networks stations. It's located in and around Killeen, Texas, and it was reported just like I'm going to give it to you at 1600 hours today, the fifth day of November in Austin, Texas. 12 dead, 31 wounded, one shooter arrested, one shooter holed up in a house, one shooter is loose. One shooter dead, one shooter arrested, one shooter on the loose. 12 dead, 31 wounded. Now, that was the story that was coming out of Killeen, Texas, not by one, not by two, not by three, but six different news broadcasters. I actually recorded one of the radio stations, KLBF, and I was not prepared to show it, to play that tonight, primarily because it's really a long, rough feed with a lot of gibberish. And I want to let the audience know that what's wrong with this picture. I mean, if you didn't know what was going on in Killeen, Texas at Fort Hood today, and you just heard it for the first time, the news story sounds pretty palatable. But in actuality, where's the spin? Well, the spin comes to play sometime in the last 2 hours to 3 hours, sometime around 7:15 Central Standard Time. That's 1900 hours. In 15 minutes, USA time, a Fulbert colonel comes out and says the man accused of shooting spree at Fort Hood, Major Nadal Malak Hassan, was arrested and not killed. No mention of a second party, no mention of a third party involved. The story started out at 2:30, with two men running rampant around the indoctrination center, murdering people. It started out with seven dead and 20 wounded. And that was the story that started at 2:30. By 1600 hours, it was 31 wounded and obviously 12 dead. Then at 1915 hours, we've got the story that there's only one shooter, one shooter, only one shooter, only one shooter. Do I need to repeat myself, only one shooter? What happened to the other two shooters? What happened to the shooter that was held up, that was then a number of Army personnel surrounded this guy in a house, and he was repetitively firing back at them? What happened to the shooter that was supposedly shot dead several blocks away? What happened to the shooter that was arrested by MPs with one MP shot and killed? The stories conflict. What's going on in Fort Hood? Fort Hood is the largest Army base in the world. It has got more ways to go in and out of that base, and Carter has peanuts. You can literally sneak into that base in an all-terrain vehicle and drive right up to the PX like you came through the front gate. There's something very wrong with the story in Fort Hood, Texas today, and we're not being told the truth. Now, you can probably show some of this up to the heat of the story and people trying to get the story out, but you've got ABC and you've got Fox reporters reporting one shooter in custody, one shooter surrounded at a house, one shooter dead. All of those stories were happening basically simultaneously all around the 1500-hour mark. The number of dead kept escalating all the way up until just about 2 minutes before my showtime, the final equation came forth with 12 dead. I don't know what's going on in Killeen, Texas, a.k.a. Fort Hood, but we're not getting the truth, that's for sure.
Okay. Now, when I heard this story, if I may interrupt here, Drew.
That's fine, because I was about to move. I'm done with that, and I'm ready to move on.
Well, you may want to listen to this, okay? When I heard this story, instantly, I mean, I'm so conditioned now that when I hear of a shooting event, the first thing is, okay, why did this happen? And I don't mean, who flipped their lid. I mean, who ordered this? What is this covering up? Or, what? This is misdirection for something. You have a lot of chaos. I'm certain that this occurred somewhere on the base, different from another location on the base where something else was going on. And that's what I'm about to share with you. I had thoughts about this, and I had shared this with a couple of people, that this may have something to do with what's going on in Washington and Angela Merkel being in Washington, supposedly to sign papers to release these international prosperity funds. And there was word yesterday in an article that Chris Story printed that he was told that George H.W. Bush was on his way to Germany to literally obfuscate that process that was occurring in Washington. In other words, Washington was just a big show. Bush was going to handle it over there on the European side. And then the next day, today, this happens. This is from Christopher Story's worldreports.org site. And this, you tell me what you think of this article. I'm going to jump into the middle of the article where he entitles the subtitle, The Fort Hood Shootings, the cover story. Now, I should name the article. It's called Fort Hood, Recovery of the Chinese Currency Boxes. Okay, some one-liners leading to this. Operation to seize back box gangs loot masked by shootings. Barack Obama plays hardball at long last. Bush Sr. stored the stolen Chinese currency boxes at Texas Army Base. Bush crime family's money in the Caribbean has also been seized. Adolf Schicklebush told, quote, "You won't be paid anything at all. It's over," unquote. Did Bush Sr. fly into Fort Hood, and was he arrested or horizontalized? The Fort Hood shootings, the cover story, and then the Fort Hood shootings, the real story. Okay, I'm going to read from the cover story. At 2:30 Eastern, 1:30 local time, a mass shooting occurred at the Fort Hood Army Base, the largest American military installation in the world, covering some 15 square miles. Army Lieutenant Colonel Christopher Garver confirmed that the violence erupted at or near the Howe's Theater, next door to the Folgers Soldier Readiness Processing Center, contained within a former sports dome at the base, located in Killeen, Texas, some 50 miles from Waco. Initial reports indicated that 7 personnel were dead and that 12 had been wounded. These reports also indicated that one gunman was in custody and that another was being sought. Later, reports said that more than 30 personnel were injured, that the base was in lockdown, and that the assailant, named as Major Malik Nadal Hassan, a U.S. Army mental health psychologist or psychiatrist, had been shot dead. 2 other assailants were arrested and are in custody, according to a briefing by Army Lieutenant General Robert Cohn, the post commander. British press sources state that Major Hassan had walked into the training center armed with 2 handguns and had opened fire on fellow military personnel who were having last-minute medical and dental checks before being deployed to Afghanistan, whereupon gunfire erupted around the base as the 2 accomplices were captured. The Daily Telegraph says that one of the assailants had holed himself up in a brain injury unit where he was surrounded by SWAT teams. 4 police officers were wounded before he was arrested. 500-plus troops were deployed to lock down Fort Hood as helicopters swept overhead. Lieutenant Commander Cohn mouthed for the eager press, quote, "It's been a terrible tragedy. It's stunning. We are absolutely devastated. The shooter was killed. He was a soldier. We, since then, have apprehended 2 additional soldiers who are suspects. There were eyewitness accounts that there may have been more than one shooter," unquote. The violence erupted shortly before a graduate ceremony for soldiers was due to start at the base. Enter President Barack Obama with this bromide for public consumption. Quote, "These men and women who have made the selfless and courageous decision to risk, please move the teleprompter, thank you, and at times give their lives to protect us," unquote. Well, I should go back into quote. He makes another statement. "It's difficult enough when we lose these brave men and women overseas." Watch my hands now. Neuro-linguistic programming. Watch carefully. "It is horrifying when we lose them on American soil," unquote. Step forward also Texas Senator Kay Bailey Hutchison, who pronounced, quote, "Our dedicated military personnel have sacrificed so much in service to our country, and it sickens me that the men and women of Fort Hood have been subjected to this senseless, random violence," unquote. Okay, that's enough. Base commanders and the Pentagon stated that they had no early indication of the motive for the shootings. Note the convenient Islamic description of the now-dead assailant. The Fort Hood shootings, the real story. The shootings were staged in order to cover up what was really happening behind the scenes, which was as follows. 1. George H.W. D.V.D. Bush, the head of the Box Gang working with the Clintons, had stored some or all of the stolen, diverted 1933 dollar currency Chinese currency boxes referenced in our reports dated 4th and 5th November 2009 at Fort Hood. These boxes form part of the settlement negotiated with the Chinese parties, who were immediately double-crossed by the Americans. 2. We do not know at the time of posting whether George Bush Sr. had flown into Fort Hood from Germany, but as this base is located close to Crawford and other Bush crime family locations, we believe this to be highly probable. 3. Whether Bush Sr. flew into Fort Hood to be joined with the stolen, diverted Chinese-sourced currency boxes or was accompanying stolen boxes on the plane is not strictly material because what we do know is as follows. 4. An operation was mounted at Fort Hood to confiscate the stolen Chinese currency boxes from Bush Sr. which achieved its objective. The currency boxes forming part of the settlement that Adolf Schicklbusch sabotaged with the duplicitous assistance of his agent, Chancellor Angela Merkel. See preceding reports were retrieved. 5. It is likely that the shootout, which occurred for public consumption, was a diversionary operation masking a parallel shootout involving Bush bodyguards and U.S. military, although we cannot confirm this. Certainly, the mainstream media, as usual, is running the wrong story. 6. The deployment of 500-plus heavily armed troops and the fact that military helicopters were called in implies a sizable operation, which would make little sense in the context of a shooting such as described in the media. That does not diminish the nastiness and tragedy of the loss of life as reported, but when this operation was planned, loss of life was factored into the equation. It's called, cynically, collateral damage. Now, there's more to this article, but I want to get your feedback on this.
Well, I don't know what kind of feedback it is. It's very plausible that what you just said rings true. The only problem I have with it is the actual whereabouts of George Herbert Walker.
Well, there is no major
airfield there.
Mm-hmm.
Where George Herbert Walker could fly any kind of aircraft that could fly out of Germany to the United States. I mean, the flight time out of Germany to the United States literally is close to 4.5 hours, and he would have to land somewhere on the east coast. Even if he were to fly over the top, meaning coming around from Germany, flying over the North Pole, he would have to land somewhere in a major metropolitan airport, either on the East Coast or to the north, i.e. Chicago or Manitoba, and refuel before he could even think about possibly getting to Killeen, Texas. And there's no airfield in Killeen, Texas that can handle a jet that would carry enough fuel to where it would be a two-stop journey from Germany to that area.
I asked some of my sources. Basically, they said easily anyone could have been flown in with a chopper, and they could take a whole fleet of choppers in there and pick up that cash with choppers. And I asked, what about a C-130? And I was told very likely they could land one there.
Well, yeah, this is a major training base. This is the largest Army airfield in the world. In the United States, a C-130 can easily land there on the grass fields that are located there for the use of the air battalions. And this is the home of the first Rangers of the United States Army Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a C-130 could definitely come in there, but the use of a C-130 to fly there, we're talking about, would have to come from the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm. Now, Chris goes on. I'm going to go back and read another portion of it. It's not too much longer. He makes a reference to something that I bring up quite often when we talk about Iraq and what went on the second time we went over there to take out Saddam Hussein, and he references something. Do they care that at least 7 personnel lost their lives and over 30 were injured in a parallel cover-up operation? That's like asking whether the sacrifice of over 100 special U.S. operatives who spearheaded the Bush-directed seizure of the Central Bank of Iraq in Baghdad in 2003, all of whom were massacred immediately afterwards so that none of them would survive to report for posterity what actually happened was an accident. That operation went badly wrong and was exposed, too. Reliable Iraqi eyewitnesses supplied the necessary reports and confirmation. He goes on to say, it is impossible at this juncture to be sure whether the gunfire was part of the main operation, i.e. the whole operation was synchronized, or whether two separate operations were run in parallel. But that is hardly material given the momentous details and substance of this report. 7. Separately, we understand that George Bush Sr.'s assets in the Caribbean, his money, was seized at the same time, or at least at some stage on the 5th of November 2009. 8. Adolf Schicklebusch also, and of course he's making a comparison to Hitler, obviously, has also been informed that, quote, you are not going to get a penny. You will be paid nothing, unquote. Assuming that is that he's still vertical. But that's all we know right now. This reflects the fact identified earlier, namely that these Germans always go too far. Bush Sr. went too far by sabotaging even the carefully nuanced arrangement worked out with the Chinese authorities and parties, and with the other sovereign powers, including the British monarchical power. He thought he could carry on carrying on, blind to the fact that it's over. As a consequence, he has lost everything. He has been cleaned out. Now, as indicated, we cannot yet confirm that George Bush himself flew into Fort Hood. If he did, it stands to reason, given the above facts, which have themselves been confirmed, that George H.W. Bush would have been arrested or horizontalized. We may yet learn that this took place. All we can do at this stage is to remind you of the phrase, not yet, in the preceding report. Was Bush 43 also arrested, horizontalized, or all of the above during this showdown? We have to tell you that when certain structures were made aware that we had worked this out, there was a stunned silence. The structures concerned were, quote, shocked to hear it from us, we were told. Operation probably ordered by the President of the United States. Who ordered this operation? Manifestly, it would have been ordered by the President of the United States, Barack Obama, who, we have repeatedly been told, has been anxious to complete the settlements and was known to be fretting under the weight of the general contempt in which he was being held by all in the know concerning his apparent inability to get his arrogant inferiors to carry out his instructions. If we take this charitable view, Mr. Obama has been systematically sabotaged by the likes of Rahm Emanuel, Lawrence Summers, Timothy Geithner, Mrs. Hillary Clinton, and Dr. Ben Bernanke. If this assessment is correct, we would anticipate some high-level dismissals or resignations from the U.S. government soon if it turns out that this decisive action has indeed broken the impasse and destabilized the opposition beyond any likelihood of recovery. We shall soon see. More to the point, the president has been placed in an impossible position by the Nazi fifth column within the U.S. intelligence power, owing allegiance to the Box Gang, not least given the horrendous implications for national security arising from the sabotage operation mounted by Bush Sr. and his lackey, Chancellor Fraud Merkel. He adds a D to Frau. Was she arrested as ordered by the world court? Don't know yet. One would expect the German police to have snubbed the world court. However, the timing of the operation described above makes Merkel's arrest more feasible. She's scheduled to hold a triumphant meeting in Berlin next week as the Germans overplay their hand again, humiliating the British through a French cabinet mouthpiece by lecturing us to the effect that Britain has no choice but to integrate itself, whether it likes it or not, within the greater German Empire. The British don't like it. There will be repercussions. And that's basically the end of it. He has a couple more words to say, but now I found this astounding that I felt that there was something, that this was a PSYOP, that it was a, as he describes it, a parallel operation, or one, you know, the shooting is acting as a diversion so that they can go in and remove all this money. And it appears that that's been done, but who's actually got the money, how this was accomplished is a mystery, but I think it's going to unfold. Always follow the money, Drew. Isn't that the saying?
It's the old saying. Follow the money.
Now, in light of all that, this is not a, you know, this isn't window dressing, this report. There's a lot of specificity in it, isn't there?
Yes. Very true. And for that to come about today, on one of the most celebrated days for the people's uprising in the world. I mean, this is Guy Fawkes Day around the world. The British Empire celebrates November the 5th as the day that James the 1st was able to repel a terrorist plot to blow up Parliament 404 years ago. It amazes me that it at almost the exact same time, 404 years after the plot to blow up Parliament, we have this shooting that's going down in Fort Hood, Texas, and we've got this major epidemic going on in the Ukraine, it's already been divulged that this is a man-made epidemic of viral pneumonia strain. It is not a mutation of the H1N1. It's not a bird flu. And yet, this is a mutation of a viral pneumonia. What's wrong with this picture is the fact that the Western media is playing the hype in the Ukraine really outrageously overboard. There's in this particular area, there's probably maybe 2 million people that live there, and they're coming out with stories like half a million people are infected. Well, a half a million people to be infected, that's normal for any type of a flu in a region that is very poor. But it's not that poor.
Yes. Now,
they're not that stupid either.
Yes. Now, I want to readdress this issue now, because I brought up the issue of this charge that there's a viral pneumonia, or there's it's now being called a pneumonic plague. Okay. What I was told very specifically was that this is a mutation of the swine flu virus that enters the lungs through breathing, okay? So one's respiratory tract is attacked through the lungs, and the virus is causing the small capillaries basically to, you could say, explode. It's causing them to leak, to open up, and to hemorrhage. And there have been a few reports now. There have been some autopsies where they've opened these cadavers and looked inside the lungs, and the inner part of the lungs are black. Now, that's what happens when you get a large collection of blood, and it dries. So basically, these people are drowning on blood is what's happening. They're not able to get any oxygen into the lungs. The stories that we're hearing are out there, and I'm not, you know, I'm willing to look at this as if it was some sort of pneumonia. The symptoms are coming out like pneumonia, but what I've been told is that this is a mutation of the virus that has been sprayed or delivered to the area. It's not known if this was done by air, but it was done in a way that it can get into the air. That could be done from the ground.
That makes sense.
Okay. I was very specific about this. Now, the figures that were given to General Jeremiah were the figures that the authorities thought were the accurate figures. And the issue of the financial scandals and all of that that's going on, that very well could have something to do with it, but that doesn't really affect people one way or another. Whether if they're well and they get their $1 billion back into that bank, into the national bank of the Ukraine, that in and of itself is positive. But right now, people have to concern themselves as to whether or not they're going to wake up tomorrow alive or dead.
And who are the people that are dying? Let's actually look at the death. This is not young people. This is not healthy people. These are normal people that are sick. I.e., there are some young people here that are dying. Of the 110 people that I've got the report from, none of them are normally let's say healthy people. The ages range is very young, meaning as young as 10 and as old as 80, but they were sick people, people that had severe bronchitis, severe lung type diseases on their own, that bronchitis with an airborne disease, people that are basically following the government's request to wash your hands with colloidal silver, lye soap, keep your house clean, the workers that are working in the office buildings are washing hand railings with colloidal silver. The government is requesting anybody that has the talent to manufacture colloidal silver generators and put them on the marketplace. The people themselves are a little more educated there and are doing everything they can to keep themselves healthy. There's no panic in the streets. People aren't screaming up and down the street. They're going about their work days and they're wearing their mask. Don, it eludes me what's going on in the big picture out there of, and why are these lies going on, and why pick on the Ukraine? What's the big deal? Why pick on the Ukraine, especially this area?
Yeah,
Western Ukraine.
This is where the financial scandals come in. I'm fairly confident. Because
there's no money in Western Ukraine. There's no gold mine.
No. You're misunderstanding me. I don't think I had a chance to share this information with you, or did I? I thought I did yesterday. I had the impulse to do some research on the banking situation in the Ukraine. And I did a basic Google search on a couple of keywords, and I came up almost immediately with a story about $1 billion that's taken out, that been stolen by the former director of what is the largest bank in Kiev.
Yeah, but he didn't take the money out. He embezzled that over a period of time.
Well, yeah, but I mean it's been stolen, okay, and basically it's. Everything I've heard is alluding to the fact that they don't expect this guy to get caught. Okay, I know we talked about this because we brought up the issue of the USS New Orleans and in Phuket, Thailand. There is another scam that went on, $3 billion, and they just extradited at the end of October the guy responsible for that. He's a business partner of Adnan Khashoggi, the Saudi arms dealer. Venezuela, the Stanford banking scandal, again, $3 billion. And these are just drops in the bucket, Drew. You know how much money is being stolen. These are the cover stories, but I find it interesting that, the major outbreaks, the first outbreaks that we heard about, in any large numbers are occurring where there have been bank frauds. It's just a fact. I don't think I'm jumping to any outrageous conclusion here. It's just a fact. Okay? Now, why would somebody start the swine flu? Well, if there was an investigation going on, and I mean a serious investigation, and they were going to get to the bottom of this stuff and heads were going to roll, they have to divert the people's attention to something else. It's the people that are going to turn against this corruption. So this is an attack upon the people. This is going on. Eventually, this is going to be happening all over the planet if they get their way. So we have an obligation as researchers, as talk show hosts, to alert to people to this. As truth seekers and light bearers, we have an obligation to share this with our fellow man. Do we not?
Oh, yeah.
Best we can. Now, I could be totally wrong, but to me it makes more sense than anything else I'm hearing, certainly from the media, because they're lying to us about the numbers. They're exaggerating the numbers, trying to create panic and fear. Well, now everybody's getting it. I better get that shot. And you're going to wake up dead. Or you're going to wake up very sick and die a horrible death.
How about paralyzed?
Or just get paralyzed, exactly. And who knows what the symptoms are going to evolve into in a few weeks or in a few months or in a couple of years, if you even make it that far.
Because we've got the cortisol out there that we've got the big pharmaceuticals trying to get our young girls in America to take the vaccination of the cortisol, and 7 out of 10 women, i.e. girls, 16 to 21, come up sterile. So what's this really all about, ladies and gentlemen? It's about population control.
Yes. Now, yesterday, Drew, I did some research. I was doing some research on a website that I thought was... And I'm not going to go into who it was or anything like that, but I started with an alias. I know the website is run by somebody using an alias, and I found that this alias got an award. And basically, on basis of all the research I had done, this was like getting the Nobel Pizza Prize. You know, this character getting this award, and the areas of this person's education, proclaimed education, pointed in a certain direction. And as I followed other aliases that I discovered, guess where it took me? It took me to two companies, biotechnology company and a pharmaceutical company. Chiron Corporation in Hayward, California. I believe they're in Hayward. Oh, no, Emeryville, not far from Hayward. It's a multinational biotechnology firm, okay? And it was acquired by another company on April 20th of 2006. Remember, that's the year that IBM put out the notice to their upper management.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That
there's 100% chance of a pandemic within the next 5 years, right?
Correct.
The company that bought Chiron Corporation, who... basically does blood testing and diagnostics. So they bought that corporation, and it's part of their pharmaceutical and diagnostics division, Novartis. Novartis. Isn't that interesting?
Novartis is a Swiss company located just a few hundred miles from where this viral pneumonia release is going on in the Ukraine.
Well, what they're calling viral pneumonia. I've got to trust that based on the information I was given, and I was pretty staunch in my posturing, because I'm trusting the information that we're getting there from people in the know. It was described to me, I'm going to repeat, that this appears to be a viral pneumonia, or it's being called pneumonic plague. I wouldn't go so far as to say that, but it's doing something different than what the regular swine flu does. It causes hemorrhaging. It's a mutation that was intentionally distributed across the country in the Ukraine and in Romania and in the Amazon jungle.
Well, here's something that's very unique in the sense that I have a private investigator friend in London it's been 6 years now, 6 years ago, he married a Russian girl from Sumy. And Sumy just happens to be in the Ukraine, approximately 250 miles due east of Kiev. And I got in touch with Robert, and he tells me that they don't even have the first outbreak of the flu of any kind in Sumy, Ukraine, i.e. Sumy, Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Sumy is right on the Russian Ukraine border, and it is in the north central part of the Ukraine. It is one of the larger cities up there. His wife has no relatives. Her mother died a number of years ago when she was only 14 or 15 years old, and her father died when she was about 19, and she was left alone. So she's only about 27 or 28 years old now. And she has a lot of friends that obviously that live there in Sumy. And she still owns her mother and father's home there. And they keep it rented out to a specific agency. And then, anyway, Robert tells me that there's something wrong with the stories coming out of Kiev that are coming out of Lviv, and he pronounced it Lviv, and it's LVIV,
mm-hmm.
Region, and that about this massive amount of people that are infected, and they're looking at the fact that all the schools are now closed throughout the Ukraine. All the theaters are closed. There's basically restaurants are closed, and any gathering places that where people would normally gather in large numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he says that Robert says that there's something fishy here. This is affecting all over the Ukraine. But they don't have any reports of anybody sick in Sumy. I mean, he has firsthand knowledge there. I've got my girlfriend that lives over in Simferopol, which is in the Crimea.
Mm-hmm.
They've had four or five flu people. You know, people come into the hospital with the flu. 50% of the staff doctors are now being ordered by the Ukraine government to fly to Kiev or to Ternopil, and to assist in the aid that of the staff doctors that are located over there. Well, what's wrong with this picture? You're going to bring people from the far east part of the country to the far west part of the country in an infected area, and then say, okay, well, everything's fine, go back home. But now that you are infected, you're going to spread it around to all your relatives. Something's really strange going on, and there's a lot of people that are looking at the pictures. Fortunately, in the Crimea area, the microbiologist, there is a medical school there that graduates microbiologists, and they're looking at the situation. So we're not getting the whole truth. And what's the cover-up? What is the cover-up? And obviously it may be about money. The financial industry of the world. We've got the last big flu outbreak was in Southeast Asia, where we had the Southeast Asian dude that was in one of the major banks down there. Who disappeared with billions of dollars. And now we got somebody in the Ukraine that's missing billions of dollars. And it rhymes. It just, there's something fishy going on. And I think the bankers the bankers, meaning the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the Walkers and the other major name players, are involved in the American researchers like yourself who are uncovering this around the world, and They have different names. They're from different countries, and they're seeing this. And it's only a matter of time, Don, that the average citizen is not going to believe what they see in mainstream media, just like in the movie V for Vendetta. At the very end, the massive population of Great Britain turned their back on the news that was being fed to them by a control media, and it took their country back.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I see coming. I think it's not just going to be a USA thing. I think it's going to be a worldwide thing.
Yeah. Well, let me say this, Drew. I was pretty adamant about the fictitious numbers, and I think you and I both agree on that they're over exaggerating these numbers to produce panic and fear. That's obvious. I really, really question all of this as far as okay, we're hearing this directly from the people on the ground there at ground zero, so to speak. Why is it possible that your high level sources are misinformed? And that's going to be looked at. But the point is that I was also told that they have been developing an antidote for this.
Well, wait a minute. Let's throw something in there that cannot be disparaged. My girlfriend is a medical doctor, and when I told her that the reports were in excess of 24,000 people hospitalized in the western Ukraine, she says that is poppycock. There's not 20, for her very words, there aren't even 12,000 hospital beds in western Ukraine. And if they were to double up the hospital rooms, put people in the hallways, they would barely be able to put 16,000 people in all the hospitals in the western part of the Ukraine. And then we hear these made-up stories that there's 24,000 people hospitalized. They mm-hmm. haven't got hospital beds to fit that.
Yes. Yeah, I'm agreeing with you on that. Even the numbers that we got this evening were drastically lower. Less than, something like, we'll round it off and say less than 35%, okay? But that doesn't mean that figure is accurate either. That's the point I'm making. What I specifically asked is this just restricted to the western and eastern regions, the rural areas, as we were told?
Yeah.
I said that's where it was originally, let's say, I'll use the word sprayed or delivered. We could say delivered, okay, because it's not known what the means was. Likely it may have been sprayed at some point. However, not through chemtrails, but through another method. And I asked, has it spread into the cities? And the answer was yes. And I said, is that because of food or goods that were delivered from those rural areas into the cities? And I was told no, it was airborne. That was the response. Now, we want to allay the fears and the panic that people might have from this information, again, by repeating that they insist that they've come up with an antidote that they're helping us with. This is out there, but it's no more insane than what these demons are doing to this planet and to humanity. So just pray and thank God for sending some help and pray that the criminals get arrested and incarcerated for the rest of their lives, or their just rewards, whatever that might be.
Well, right now I would be leery of living in a rural area in the United States where there was any type of large airfield close by that is not basically being used. That a C-130, not a C-130, but a 727 can land at, because that's probably the sprayer that is being used to spray this airborne disease? And are they going to put it in a rural area? I don't, in the United States, I can't see that. I mean, I can see them doing it in New York or Chicago or Miami or Dallas or San Francisco or Denver, but I cannot see them doing it in a rural area of the United States to bring fear. My girlfriend tells me that influenza that is going on in Western Ukraine is like if there was an outbreak of a major flu in New York City, but you lived in Memphis, Tennessee. That's basically how people in the Ukraine are looking at it. It's affecting the western part of the country, not the eastern part of the country. And they're not overly panicked about it. The university hospital that is there, there's 400 doctors at that particular hospital, and these are this is one of the largest hospitals in the Crimea.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about 400 doctors. People say, well, that's way too many doctors. Well, wait a minute. You're talking about 400 doctors that work 24/7. They don't work 24/7. They're on staff. They work 5 days a week, 8 hours a day. And this is a large hospital. There's 1,000 to 1,500 beds in this hospital. So you're going to have about 100 doctors on a shift close to it. So, you know, it's not unheard of to have an abnormal amount of doctors in a hospital that is a university hospital, like much like the one we have here in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Or any major metropolitan
area. Or any major city, metropolitan area.
Yeah.
Where you've got university hospitals, you just don't realize how many doctors are in that hospital.
Yes. Drew, we've got a caller. We have Eve on the line. Eve, are you with us?
Yes, I am. How are you, Don?
Good. Welcome to Evident Footprints. You have a comment or a question?
Yeah. The other day, I was listening to Dr. Art's radio station, and apparently they were having some, emails sent over from across, the country over there where all this stuff is breaking out as far as this new flu, whatever you want to call it, H5N1 or H1N1, whatever they want to call it.
Anyway, calling it the WHO flu?
The H1N1 is the swine flu, and the H5N1 is the bird flu.
Okay, all right. Okay. Well, yeah, like they combined them all anyway, the pig,
yeah,
the swine, and the human. Anyway, so apparently somebody sent him an email while he was on the air, and he was reading it. And interestingly enough, as you may have caught on already, they sprayed something because the people were commenting in this email that they were walking through and you could see a pink haze over the land, and they thought it was quite unusual because it was in the middle of the afternoon and it wouldn't be foggy.
Yes,
but yet,
yes.
There the pink haze was. Okay. And don't we all know that, out throughout time, these guys used to deliver it in the 50s in the back of a milk truck or any type of truck. And Clinton was forced to apologize to the American people for dispersing these chemicals into the cities of the United States as a testing ground for some of their biological weapons. So it's,
yes,
been going on forever, all right? So basically, I think these people were sprayed over there. They were probably sprayed on the ground. And unfortunately, they're the casualties of their biological warfare weapon against the people.
Yes. Well, we have choppers flying around all the time. Most of them hear them go over our homes at night. And, when I lived in the Los Angeles area, when they had this alleged medfly issue, they were spraying Malathion, and if you didn't cover your car up, if you didn't have a garage, your paint was ruined. Now, what do you think would happen if that landed on your body, or you absorbed it into your skin or breathed it in?
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying, oh, this is safe. This is just targeted for the fruit flies, the Mediterranean fruit flies. Then
yeah,
they came
make
up.
Sure. Make sure you cover up your car, though, okay, because it'll eat the paint off your car.
Yeah, exactly. And then they came up with the brilliant idea of creating these sterile male fruit flies. And they painted the one wing blue and one wing pink. I mean, this is insane. Somebody actually did this, okay? And yeah. I saw one of these flies in a trap, and I examined it very closely. It was on the outside part of the trap, stuck to it, you know? And I looked at that, and I thought, what an appropriate name for a sterile fruit fly. a fruit fly. So,
it's just unbelievable that, you know, they can continue to carry on this way and kill more people with these biological weapons, you know, and your excellent, you know, history lesson connecting all the dots together and all the scumbags, you know, that are hopefully falling apart, you know, right beneath our eyes right now. And where is Dick Cheney in all of this?
Probably, in the bunker.
Underground, bunkered down
in the bunker someplace, mapping all this out with Henry Kissinger and Zbigniew Brzezinski. Either that or he's with his 11th cousin 122 times removed, the long-legged Mac Daddy. I don't know.
Yeah. I can tell you, living here in California, a connection that I had would tell me when to go outside and when not to go outside. And it seems to me, not seems, but I was told that their biggest sprains were done on our holiday seasons when people were off, say, a 4th of July weekend, Labor Day, Memorial Day. Those were their biggest sprains because people were going to be outside. And I was told, stay indoors, don't go outside, there's going to be heavy sprain tonight. And it's going to start around 2 o'clock in the morning because of the way the winds blow. It'll be right over the right spots. And I have a white car, and I live here in Southern California. And thank God I notice that my white car is not loaded with these yellow dots of, you know, gook. I mean, it was just, you know, months ago, it was just covered with this yellow stuff, and it's hard to get off. And now my car has been parked outside, not under trees. I don't park underneath trees. And there's hardly anything on it. And that's been that weather for several months right now. But back in February, March, April, May, all those months, I mean, to go out and wash my car and to remove all this yellow stuff that stuck to the car. But now there's hardly any on there. I mean, there's a little bit, teeny, teeny bit. Compared to, I would say, 10% of what used to be on there. So, you know, all that's the poison that's being dropped down on us. You know,
yes.
Breathing it, you know, walking in it, and, you know, so, anyway. But I think that, you know, I think maybe if, you know, you ask Dr. Odd about that email that he received, he might be able to read it. But I think that might be, you know, the culprit or the point of, you know, of where the poison is being sprayed, and these poor people over there that are, you know, getting dosed with the stuff and, you know, passing it on. I was told a couple years ago by an individual that works for the inside, I guess you could say, that they're going to be using this stuff on people. It's going to go into the lungs. It's going to make, you know, it's going to make you your lungs fill up so you can't breathe. Was in very, very simple terms, wasn't anything real complicated, but, you know, I was told to stay out, you know, I mean, stay inside, don't go outside, you know, the sprain is going to affect your lungs, bottom line, it's going to affect
yes.
your lungs. So.
I mentioned this corporation that I stumbled upon through just some research, you want to check information out, and sometimes you have to check who's putting the information out. There's no doubt about that, because when it doesn't resonate or it seems like something's not right, I just have to know. That's how I am, and I think my listeners and my readers appreciate my relentless search for the truth and to bring it out, not the lies that we have to listen to all the time. And it requires you to be able to get outside the box. And I hit, the very topic that you're talking about, I discovered this company that was purchased by Novartis that's doing the exact type of research, allegedly to cure this stuff. But are we seeing cures? No, we're seeing people get sick. This is all for public consumption. This is part of the propaganda, the cover stories that they give us to make us think that these pharmaceutical companies are interested in healing. They never mention healing, do they? They mention how you're going to feel better. That's before they list 20 or 30 side effects that can kill you.
The only thing they got on television is take this new drug. We've got a new drug for a new symptom with a new, ABC name to it. And here's, give up your restless leg so you can have kidney failure, heart failure, blood clots. And, and the bottom line is if that all doesn't work, it could cause death.
Yeah.
So we get rid of your restless leg syndrome.
And then you have the attorney that runs the commercial that says, have you or a loved one died from taking this medication? I have, but I wasn't going to tell you. But since you asked me, it's ridiculous. The way they use the language and the way they mislead us of their true intent, you see, it's about getting their hands on your money. That's all it's ever about.
Making you sick while they take, while they rob you of your money, too.
Yeah.
They never
yeah.
make you well, So, yeah. Basically, like you said, you have to step outside the box. You have to get out of that, that cocoon that they wrap you in and feed you that stuff over the TV set and lull you to sleep and, program your brain. And, if you can walk away from that and step outside their box, then they're in trouble.
Yes. Well, Eve, I appreciate your call. You had some great comments to make, and I'm going to have Dr. Rott on my show next Monday. We're going to be talking about this for sure. And Tuesday and Wednesday, I think it's the 17th and the 18th. I'm going to check real fast here. I have Dr. Mike Castle on the show. Now,
was the one that was on that night. I think he was on the other day I think that was who he was talking to when that email came across the airways to Dr. I.
It was, yes.
Yes.
That was who he was interviewing.
Yes, he and I are following this very carefully, okay?
Good.
And
yeah, I know you are. You guys are doing an excellent job, and I appreciate all of you, God bless you all, okay?
Well, God bless you for calling in, and thank you for that support. Spread the word about the show.
I do. You can't believe I do.
And Drew's show,
listening.
Too. If you have a chance to tune into blogtalkradio.com, his show airs Monday through Friday. Your time would be from 2 to 4 p.m.
Yeah, it's a little tough for me at work. But, I wish you guys, I wish you were on earlier. I wish, Drew was on a little later.
My show is you can listen to it just by going to my website, even when you get home and listen to the show because I archive it for free.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And you can go to my website.
Okay.
And I've got a large contingency of girls that listen to the show that are military person wives. They listen to the show live because they're waiting for their kids to get out of school. And they get together like for an afternoon tea, and then those that miss the show, they tune it in, and they actually get their husbands to listen to the show when their husbands come in from the base in the evening, because the show's archived, and if they've not heard all of the show, they get to hear the rest of the show.
Oh, great! I'll definitely tune into that because I would like to hear your show. Yours is very valuable too. You all are. Everybody is,
We appreciate it. We really do. It warms my heart to know that we've got people. And you'll find that real fast, and I give credit to all the girls out there, because most women are paying attention more so than men are. It's like the women are saying, wait a minute, this idiot box is been controlling my life, and they're walking away from it, and their husbands are starting to see their wives change a little bit in the form of being better educated than they are.
Yeah,
so, well, I really appreciate you calling into the show. I really do.
Well, like I said, I appreciate you guys too. You make it worth my while to stay up and listen.
Say it one more time, please. No, I'm
kidding. Oh, get out of here, guys.
Eve, make sure you call.
You make it worth my while to stay up and listen. God bless you guys. Have a good evening.
God bless you too, and call in again, Eve, if you would.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
All right, you too. Yeah, you're right, Drew. The ladies are pretty awake, and you know, we get a lot of email from them too. They're concerned about a lot of things. I got my email in order again. It appears I'm starting to get email again. I knew the gremlins were playing games, and I got to the bottom of it, and I have some people asking some questions. In fact, Betty, if you're listening into the show, I want to tell you your question about Ken Welch. Ken has been studying speech, and he does a lot of reverse speech stuff on celebrities, especially when there's a real serious issue going on. And I know that you were interested in what his most recent article was about. The best advice I can give you is use your own discernment. Really use your discernment. Listen to what is being said when you're reading. Picture these things in your mind and ask yourself, does this appear to be plausible? Try not to get anyone out there, really. Try not to move into fear. And if it's all about fear, if you're feeling fear, then there may be a chance that there's either something that you're unfamiliar with, you don't understand, and you might have to do a little bit more research. Or maybe you're getting a sign that that it's not something that you really should even be paying attention to. If I read every single article that I'm sent from top to bottom, I wouldn't have time to do the show. I wouldn't have time to do research. I wouldn't sleep. I wouldn't be able to eat. I wouldn't have any time for myself if I wanted to, and right now I don't anyway. Drew will tell you this too. We sacrifice a lot of sleep. We're up early and to bed very late if we're at all able to go to sleep. We have people asking us for help. And I mean, it's good to know that you look to us to give you some answers, but we can't give you all the answers. In a case where it's an opinion, or, you know, I'm trying to give you the truth the best I can. Drew Raines, when he's on this show, presents the truth as he knows it. And you may hear two different versions, just like what we're talking about tonight. But we're taking into account, we're taking into consideration what each of us has to bring to the table. Ultimately, our discernment will tell us what's going on. Or our experience will see what's going on. But it's not going to solve anything for us to be in fear. It's going to hinder you. It's going to stop your higher self from being the powerful being that God created you to be. And that's why they use fear as a method of subjugating the masses. They know from many years of using fear that they can do certain things that hits your hot button and causes you to cower in fear, causes you to back off or hide, you know, close the door, pull the blind shut, make sure all the windows are locked and the doors are locked. And now what do you do? You've entrapped yourself even more. And I say, just move out of that and say, first of all, fear is an illusion. Take the information that you might be reading in an article. And I use Ken Welch as an example because you had asked me about that. I've studied reverse speech, and I find it fascinating how the truth can come out and some of the statements that that certain people make when we all sort of sense that they're lying. And the reverse speech shows that. strange words come out. Well, I did a show tonight about electronic voice phenomenon and apparitions that are appearing in a lady's home because she blew the whistle on a mental health institution in Texas. And there's all kinds of off-the-wall stuff happening in her life and the lives of her family members. But she's telling the truth about what's going on in this medical hospital. And there are things that we don't understand that occur. Because we don't understand them doesn't mean that they're not happening. But the nature of what they are or the power that they might have over us is something to understand. Because the understanding of that and the knowledge that you gain moves you out of the fear. And now you can make a choice about how you're going to deal with that. And so, in responding to your email or anyone that sends that sort of email that's worried about, is this true? Are they spraying our cities? Or are we going to die if we get these vaccines? We're not fear-mongering here. We're presenting you the truth. Look at it. Decide for yourself. We're not asking you to believe it, but you've got to do some research. You've got to read a little bit.
And protect yourself.
And take some precautions. You know, we have people like Michael Anthony on this show. And Dr. A. Truat, and I've had Dr. Kasim Khalil and Dr. Len Horowitz, and we've talked about supplements that you can take and things that you can do to remove toxins from your body so that your immune system can do what it was designed to do. You don't have to be popping pills to do this. A good diet can do this. Natural herbs can do this.
I need to break in right there and tell people that in the very near future, we're not going to have shipping and receiving available. And therefore, in your local area, you need to find your local herbalist and network with that local herbalist now. And if you haven't got a local herbalist right now, get in touch with some of these people that are herbalists out there that are on talk radio that's on your show and on my show and on that have their own talk shows out there, and find out where a local, you'll find real fast, ladies and gentlemen, that a real honest to goodness natural herbalist is not in this for money. They're in this to protect you, and they will show you real fast you can grow this herb in your yard for this illness and make it yourself, and they will really work hand in glove. The herbalists out there that are in it for money, it's always buy from me, buy from me. You've got to buy it from me. Is that what you see, Don?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And many times the ones that are saying buy it for me are charging 3 to 10 times more than anybody else.
My master herbalist, Mary Joan Mondello, she puts together 2-ounce bottles of tinctures for $16. And I've run across other herbalists out there selling the same tinctures for $12 for 1 ounce. And if they sell a 2-ounce bottle, it's like $22 or $24. And it amazes me of the amount of fraud that's going on, even in the natural health business. And as you very well said very slightly a minute ago, the people are waking up. Turn that idiot box off. If you could turn your television off for 2 weeks, ladies and gentlemen, I guarantee you, if you'll turn your television off for 2 weeks, your mental capacity will come back. God gave you a great brain. It'll heal itself. And all of a sudden, you'll be thinking for yourself. But you've got to turn that idiot box off and stop being mind-controlled. Even with mind-controlled with the programming of the movie or the series that you're watching, you need to break away, and you need to be able to turn that idiot box, i.e. television, turn that sucker off and realize that television is bringing you microwaves that are harmful to you, as well as visually sending impulses through the market, through the television, to control your mind. Listen to old time radio from the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. If you need some entertainment, there's hundreds of thousands of radio programs from the 30s, 40s, and 50s that are mysteries, love stories, comedy. You can listen to those and not listen to or watch the mind control that's coming through the television. Do it for 2 weeks, just 2 weeks, and then go back and turn on the television. I guarantee you, you will get sick to your stomach.
Yeah, Drew, I agree with what you're saying. In fact, you know, I did a two-hour show last night with Julie Dennis from England, a recording artist and singer. Got a beautiful voice. She sent me a ton of music. I had to pick out the music that I was going to use on the show. And I listened to this music to not stop what I was doing. I had to conduct all the research I was doing yesterday. And I was on a few shows too. So I'm multitasking, but you see, you can listen to music and it really doesn't matter if it's something that you like, if it's something that relaxes you or something that makes you feel stronger, if it's not robbing your energy. Listen to that and spend a little time reading. Reading is an invaluable way to encounter knowledge. Listen, I put some books on my website, for example, on the books page. And I, a lot of people go there and look. I don't ask.
Can I check them out?
What's that?
Can I check them out?
Oh yes, absolutely.
What do you charge if I'm late?
Oh, can you check the book? I thought you meant just investigate it.
I'm being facetious.
Yes, I understand. But I've taken the time to put a little summary review there, okay? I don't sell those books. I don't make money selling those books. In fact, those books are all reasonably priced that the people that wrote them and spent years researching and compiling that information barely cover their costs. They're more interested in you getting the information because it's extremely empowering. And to be free of a system that's repressive is a gift from God. So these people are sharing their gift. And I put those up there so that people, you know, they can check them out. They can, you know, maybe they're not interested in the topic about 9/11 or about consciousness, but certainly you can't listen to this show and not hear any consciousness or not feel consciousness or not feel like you're being awakened or taught something. All of my guests bring something worthwhile to the table that you can hang your hat on day in and day out. And I get this in the email that I receive, and I get this when I get calls into the show. And I hear this from other people that I talk to. Other talk show hosts tell me, oh, your name came up in a real heavy conversation yesterday. A lot of people are listening to your show. I'm just focusing on getting the information out there. It's what you do with it and who you become or who you are being that is important. Right now, the majority of people are being what they were created to be by this corrupt system on this planet. And we have to make a conscious effort to change that. That's not the all of what we have in front of us. But I certainly would like to know more about who I am and why I'm here before I take on that challenge. And that's what I've done. And I can tell you it works. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to have a talk show, but if God willing or you make that choice, then go for it. You know, we need more people out there spreading the truth around. Or if you're listening and you enjoy what you're hearing, if it's enriching you, if it's teaching you something, if it's inspiring you, and if it's reducing the fear level, then by all means, share that with your friends for that reason. I'm hearing stories of famous doctors getting glassy-eyed when they're hearing some of the information we're bringing out on the show in private conversations with others in their field, with their peers. They just refuse to accept the truth because they've been so brainwashed. So You know, if it means having millions of dollars in the bank account and living in a multi-million dollar home and taking vacations every couple of weeks or a couple of times a year, or not having the and being unconscious and being in fear and everything else that comes with that, then I would prefer not to have the money and be conscious and know, at least I know who I am and why I'm here. That's worth. You can't put a price on that. You really can't.
And I want to know how I can. I want to know how I get a copy of all the music that you had last night, because when you talk about, and this is along what you're talking about with fear, people can listen to music and be calm.
Oh yes, yes. It
get away from that fear that's being drummed down their throat by the television.
Mm-hmm. Did you listen to the show last night, Drew?
Yes, I did. But see, I couldn't bother you because the show was so good.
Okay. Now, the reason I asked that because Julie said several times in the show that she feels her mission is to heal people. Okay, to affect healing through music. Okay, that's a sacred thing here. Okay. She's not practicing medicine. If she is, it's spiritual medicine, okay? And she's been blessed with a beautiful voice, and she has a talent, a very original, unique talent, and she's got brains, you know. She's a thinking, feeling person, but she's a very caring person. She cares about all the people around the world that she doesn't know. She's hoping that somehow her music will reach those people and have that impact, just like you described. I'll make sure you get some of this music, Drew, but we're going to be playing it quite a bit on the show in the future from time to time and also on BBS Radio. That's a done deal there. You know, she had a great time. She'll be back on my show. But, you know, maybe we'll talk about this very aspect, too. I've talked about this numerous times on my show. It's in the area of what I'm doing with a lot of my music. And music is just one avenue. You know, you can read something inspirational about some historical figures that were, from our founding fathers, those that were seeing what's happening today being attempted in their day and the steps that they took. What's wrong with knowing that, at least hearing it in their words? What's wrong with that? But we've become so dependent on everyone presenting us their version of what entertainment is, which is what? Entertainment. What does that mean? It's something to occupy your time, sort of, to take over your consciousness or to control it. Not all entertainment fits that category. Certainly when you go see a really funny comedian, that guy's got you laughing because he's got you thinking. He's got you feeling. He's got you imagining these things. And he's causing you to remember things, or she. It can be a female comedian, too. The comedian relates to you because we've all experienced those things. They're things that, for some reason, we're afraid to talk about. We're afraid to admit these things, and so to see someone else admit it for us is funny. Well, you know, when I discover certain things about myself, certainly I can laugh when I hear this comedian reminding me of something that we did as kids. Because we were, in our own way, we were innocent, yet we were crazy. And those things are funny. We can laugh at them. But we can't laugh at a lot of things going on today because we've become so complacent and apathetic, and we've allowed these things to just become, their own demons, so to speak. And then because we're in fear, we're based in fear, and we're just focused.
Lost our liberty.
Yeah, yeah. We're not thinking for ourselves. We're expecting someone else to make our decisions and think for us and be responsible for us. And that's a one-way ticket to hell, as far as I'm concerned. Your thoughts on that, Drew?
No, you're right on point. I mean, we're just now, Americans are just now waking up in mass, but they're at the same time, they're asleep in mass with the fact that we've got all these sporting events, stadiums. What do we need all of this? I mean, it's all about control, and people are being controlled just like the Romans controlled their people with the gladiators and the different events of the day. And at some point, people are going to walk away and say, wait a minute, why should I go to the stadium and watch a bunch of people get murdered for entertainment? Are Christians being fed to the lions? Why don't I just go out here and walk through the forest and look at what God's created? And that's what they did 2,000 years ago. Well, today we've got the baseball fields, the football fields, the soccer fields, the basketball arenas, and it's all the same thing. We just look at it. The engineers that put together the Roman Colosseums, or the engineers that are putting together the football stadiums and the basketball arenas today.
Yes.
Being controlled.
Yes, and you know, basically entertainment is an amusement or something to divert your attention away from everything else, okay? And it serves a purpose because it's an escape for you. I find it kind of interesting that when you go to, let's say, a major sporting event, and they tell the people, everybody on your feet, or everybody stand up. Why is that necessary? But they all stand up.
I got an IM here from Russia, and it tells me that we don't have the sporting events that you have. But I need to let you know, Guy, you may not have sporting events in Russia like we do, but you've got the theater. And the theater is what I'm referring to. You have enormous number of theaters in all your cities, the fine arts. And those theaters are there basically to control you one way or the other. It doesn't have to be a sporting event. It can be some other thing that has you entwined into doing something on a weekly basis. You haven't got the money to go anywhere except to the theater one day a week. And that's what I'm trying to get across to people. You're being controlled by somebody at the top, and you're a slave. We've lost liberty. It's worldwide loss. It's not just a loss of liberty in America. It's a loss of liberty around the world. And once the United States goes down the tube, the real liberty that you have in your other countries, it's going to be a domino effect. So
yeah.
You got to get off your posterior. You got to network. You've got to know who your friends are that believe in the same things you believe in. You've got to train yourselves, and you've got to bring something to the table. If the power goes off, if there's no more power, and you have to live like the people did in the 1880s, what can you bring to the table in your community? Can you bake bread from scratch? Can you harvest a garden? Do you know how to raise a garden of foods? Forget the automobile. There's not going to be gasoline to put in that car. But so if there's not going to be that, what can you bring to the table? Can you be a repair technician on a bicycle? Wake up, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not trying to be scary here. I'm trying to tell you facts. We're going to be in a turmoil that's going to last anywhere from 3 to 5 years, maybe even 7, where we're not going to have any power. We're not going to have the conveniences that we've had these last 80 years in the United States or in other countries. The people that are going to fare a lot better than we do in America are the people in the Africa and in South America, in the rural areas, than the places that don't have telephones, that don't have the conveniences of 24 hours, 7 days a week of electricity.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's what it's going to go to that. And if you think, well, you can do it, do me a favor. Go out to your power box just on the weekend. Just on the weekend. Go to your power box at your house. Turn the power off on your house for 8 hours. and see how lynching 8 hours of no power in broad daylight is going to be like. And imagine that what 8 hours of no power at night is going to be like. Try to read a book after the sun goes down. Think about it. That's all I got to say there, Dennis.
Yeah. Well, Drew, we're out of time. We covered a lot of topics. I did a lot of talking tonight.
I couldn't talk.
Yeah, I know you're fighting all this these airborne particulates in your area, and
I'm allergic to the mold that's growing on the trees, and we've only had 3 days of no rain, and I'm basically a little down today, tonight, because I got to go out and work on my car today, and it's still moist outside, so but I had to get my car up and running. My Roadster to where I could go this next week is November the 10th, and I've been, like Eve called in, I had a Marine call me today that has heard my radio show and network, and somebody had told him about me, and he found, and from New York City, and said, well, you know, this radio guy is right there in your town. He promotes Bob Chapman. You ought to get in touch with him. He's right there. And so he calls me out of the blue, and that's what's happening. People are starting to network and talk about, you know, places. And the November the 10th is the Marine Corps birthday, and a lot of us Marines that I know are going to get together for a toast and lunch or dinner. So, that's what it's all about, is friendship and being true to and loyal to your friends. So, all I can say is with me working on my car today, that mold that's growing on the trees, I'm allergic to it, and it's affecting my throat.
Yeah. Well, I did darn close to 5 hours of radio today, and I wasn't sure I was going to have a voice all day. I don't know. Somehow the Lord just blessed me and allowed my vocal cords to make it through another.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity of being on the show, Dosh. And we'll be back, next week? I guess it is. You've got me down for the 10th. I may have to beg off on that, but I'm still scheduled for the 10th.
Oh, okay. Why, do you have something interfering with that? You let me know, and if I need...
Well, I'll let you know. It's the Marine Corps birthday, and... there's maybe an engagement that I'll be at that night that I won't be able to get back here in time to do the show.
Oh.
But I'll let you know more about it in the next 2 days.
What's the chance that you might be near a phone there at the engagement? We get some of those Marines on the show.
That's an idea. That's what I said. I'll talk about it in the next 2 days.
Okay. Well, in the meantime, I'm going to be on your show when? Next Monday?
Yeah, you're geared for Monday the 9th.
Okay, all right.
And the 16th, and the 23rd, and the 30th.
Yes. Okay, all right. Well, you're on next Tuesday. If it works out, that would be great. I think that would be great, having some of your comrades on with us, too. Why not?
Life goes on.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
All right. Drew, you take care of yourself. Get some rest. Take care of that
and
voice.
Those of them that want to know where the website is, it's the 3 W's. Alpha Michael Delta. That's AMD.ELEquity, the word equity, .com. AMD.ELEquity.com. You don't have to worry about the website going down unless something happens to Australia.
All right, Drew, thanks for being on the show, and I look forward to being on your show next week as well as having you back on Evident Footprints.
I look forward to that music that I heard last night being sent to me.
Okay. All right. I promise you I'll get that out to you.
Okay.
All right. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and our special guest tonight, Drew Malone Reigns III. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, as well as blogtalkradio.com. I'd like to thank Eve for her wonderful call this evening. And all you listeners out there around the world, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light. Join me tomorrow night when our special guest, is going to be none other than the scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher, my co-host every Friday night, and our resident science advisor, Jim Murray. In the meantime, again, I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.